Okay, everybody. Well, this morning we're back to Abraham. Our series at the moment is called God's Friend. This is the eighth week, and I'm calling this finally, but don't get confused, this is not the finale. This is not the end of Abraham's story, but this is a finally, a pause for finally in Abraham's story. So over the last forever, we have been talking about Abraham's story, the tour of his life, the impact and significance of Abraham. And the title of this series is inspired by the Apostle James, who calls Abraham God's friend. And today we finally meet Isaac, the child of promise. So my first point today is promise fulfilled. You know, we need to just have a little backtrack of how far we've been with Abraham. Abraham is introduced to us at age 75. And he has a son when he is 99 years old. A lot of time has passed. 25 years have passed. 25 years of waiting. 25 years of promise, but 25 years of waiting. This is a really difficult thing for us always to imagine. We sometimes think Abraham was a holy man of God. He had a halo that hovered 3 inches above his head. He didn't walk on the ground, he hovered. And we think of Abraham as such a special man that he was a man not that we could ever attain to his stature. But actually the number of times when he had real encounters with God, according to the scriptures, are few. But he faithfully waited for God's promise. And being faithful and waiting for God's promise is surely one of the things we really must learn from Abraham. Last time we talked about how God promised Sarah that he would come back to her and that she would have a baby in about a year's time. And this next chapter that we've gone into, chapter 21, is the fulfillment of this promise. 90-year-old Sarah became pregnant and gave birth to a boy. And you might say, well, they all lived so much longer in those days. 90, well, it was maybe only 40 in our years. But you know, this was a shock to them. This was amazing to them. Sarah described herself as no longer being able to have a baby. I mean, she had been through the menopause. Sarah was not capable of having a baby. She may have looked in good condition. We know she looked in good condition because one or two quite powerful men fancied her and tried to take her as their wife. So she looked good, but the reality was that having babies was something that she had passed that time. And we all know, don't we, that men seem to be able to father babies at all sorts of times of life. Something fed into my Facebook feed the other day, something about old fathers in Hollywood. And I was reading, this actor is 62 and he's just had a baby. This actor's 65 and he's just had a baby. This actor's 68 and he's just had a baby. And the reality is men seem to be going on and on and on. But for women, it is not normal. And this is the wonder of the promise. The longer it took for the promise to be fulfilled that you will have a son, the more miraculous it was. The longer they waited, the greater God's power was when it was revealed. Because for a 90-year-old woman and a man who's just about 100, to have a baby at that age was stunning even then. And so much a statement of God's power, because for years, Abraham had walked around, firstly, with his old name Abraham, meaning exalted father, when he didn't even have a kid. And then he has Ishmael through his own workings out. Him and Sarah concoct this deal with Hagar, and they have a baby through her. And whereas we've already said that that wasn't perhaps such an unusual thing in that day and time. But God then changes Abraham's name and makes him father of many nations, because he recognizes that Ishmael will become a nation. And he makes him father of many nations, meaning that Abraham is going to have another son to fulfill his name. And you can imagine how people in the marketplace, when they met Abraham, would snicker and have a giggle. Oh, there he is, look, father of many nations. He's got one son, and that wasn't from his wife. And you can imagine how much fun they poked at Abraham. But here's the point. With our hindsight, we can see the promise was fulfilled. On the screen, you've got a black and white image of a rough terrain, just a bit of thin soil. There's nothing to it, really, but we've got this beautiful colour green springing from the ground. And the truth is that when God's promise is fulfilled, it is fulfilled often in a way in which we don't expect, we don't recognise. It is a powerful thing when life springs from the dead ground. And here, life sprang from a dead womb. And this was a great thing for us. When God fulfils his promise, it should remind us to be quick to fulfil ours. If we've promised God, we should be quick to fulfill, because God will always keep his word and fulfill his word to us. Abraham named his son Isaac, meaning he laughs or laughter. It wasn't just the name that God has made me laugh and everyone who hears will laugh with me that Sarah quoted. It wasn't just about that, but that Abraham formally named him, setting him apart as his heir and son. And the formal naming by the father in the household was a powerful thing in those days. It conferred on him the sonship and the heirship of all that Abraham owned. It also tells us that Abraham circumcised him at 8 days old in accordance with the divine instruction, to keep the covenant with God, just as God was keeping his covenant with Abraham. God had made this covenant with Abraham, you will have another son. And in the same way, he circumcises Isaac so that Isaac might keep the covenant with God, believing in God, teaching his children ahead of him about God. And that was all the circumcision really stood for. Do you know something? Journaling is not a bad idea. Journaling's a big deal now. If you go into Paper Chase, they've got all of these journaling books. They're just ordinary books with nothing on the pages, but they say journaling on the front, or my journal on the front. And it's just another way of selling a book. But you see, when you take that book and write in it what is your experience, what you know, what you have found God is speaking to you about on a daily basis, then that becomes a powerful tool in your life. And it isn't such a bad thing to keep a record of what you believe God has said to you, so that when God fulfills it, you will remember that God said it to you. And I would suggest to you, it's never a bad thing to keep a record. I keep a little journal next to my bed, because I often wake up in the middle of the night with ideas and with thoughts and feeling that God is saying something to me. And I just find it helpful there is somewhere where I can write there and then. You don't really want to turn the light on and run downstairs, but just to be able to just write down an idea on a page. I sometimes think it's almost impossible to read my notes that I've written in the night, because I haven't turned the light on. And they do tend to go at funny angles down the page. But the point is, they're there. And I would suggest to you that when God puts a promise in your heart, writing it down is not a bad idea. Rejoicing in one small promise fulfilled is the avenue you walk down to receive bigger promises fulfilled. Us learning to be grateful is really important because God is faithful. And you know, the book that in the New Testament, we have the word pistis, which means faith. And it isn't always translated as faith because it also means faithful. And if you like, there is no difference in those two words in the Greek. But for us, there's a lot of difference in English. And when you see in your Bible faithful, the translator has taken a decision to translate it as faithful on the basis of the context. And sometimes our translations struggle with this. And there are some places where you can be pretty certain it was meant to be faithful, where it just says faith. But what we have to do is help, ask God for help to understand when this is the case. But faithfulness is a very powerful act of God. He is acting for our, he is calling for our faith on his faithfulness. He will be faithful to us, and we need to have faith that he will be faithful. So these are very strongly linked, but they are in a sense quite different. So the promise was fulfilled, that's the first point. The second point is feasting. I love feasting. Next Sunday we're going to feast after church, and I encourage you to come and feast with us. But they held a great feast when Isaac was weaned. So in other words, when he's come off the breast and he is eating solid foods, they celebrate with a feast. And celebration is a good thing. As Christians, may God forbid it that we don't know how to have a party. Sometimes I see in other Christians almost like a calling to be somber and, dare I say, miserable. God help us. You know, God does so many wonderful things for us, we should rejoice. I'm rejoicing today that we've got some young kids in the church. It's wonderful, isn't it? Thank God. You know, there's always room for babies and for children in this church. Thank God for that. But, you know, it makes my heart leap within me. When I see your face and I just see you turn up for church, it makes my heart leap within me. And I want to rejoice. But let us rejoice at every good gift. Sometimes we let good gifts pass without ever thanking God. And the scripture says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights, in whom there is no shadow or turning. And we should rejoice at those good gifts. We shouldn't just let them pass. You know, I thank God that I am well. I mean, I thank God that the weather's turned. I haven't been freezing for days. It's wonderful. It's really, really good. And you know, someone who's never been cold in their lives before, it's wonderful to me when the weather warms up a bit and I'm not cold again, because these heart pills, they just freeze me, particularly in my extremities. And I tell you what, Pauline has been really impacted by this, because for years she has got into bed at night and put her cold feet in my back, and now she can't do that because I am colder than her feet. And actually, she is having to learn to receive back from me all that she has given over the years. And I am turning over to her and warming myself on her. But, you know, we have to rejoice. I am rejoicing in the standard of my health. I really am. I was with some Christians on Wednesday morning, and one of them said to me, "Oh, do you know, I'm just so ill. I'm waiting to have my gallbladder out." And, you know, the pain and the agony. "Oh, God, help me, I'm so ill." And I said to them, "Oh, yeah, I understand that. I'm waiting to have my gallbladder out as well. Back end of July, out it'll come." And I thought, well, thank God I am not sat with her saying, oh, I'm in agony too, it's awful, it's vile. You know, I've had some times of pain, and it's bad enough that they're going to take it out. But thank God I am not sat here moaning and whining about how terrible it all is, because the truth is, God has been kind to me. God has been very, very good. And okay, so in 1 year, I've had a heart attack and a gallstone an inch in diameter. But you know, big deal. You know, it's no big deal. Life throws some googlies at us. We get some stuff happening. The rubbish of life it washes up on the shore of our lives. And sometimes we've got to go out on the beach and pick up the rubbish and dispose of it. The fact is, there are issues, but we deal with them. And you know, we ought to rejoice. I'm not rejoicing that I had a heart attack in July. I think that would be slightly perverse. I'll tell you what, I'm still rejoicing in the way I came through it. I'm still rejoicing in the kindness of the people of God. I'm still rejoicing that when they brought me back from LGI after stenting me, Pastor Graham Hutchinson was sat in my room waiting for me. I'm still rejoicing that my family supported me and helped me. I'm still rejoicing that the church carried on without me. I'm still rejoicing that God is good. Amen. And there are lots of things to rejoice at. When someone says to me, oh, you know, I had a heart attack, and do you want to see my scar? And people do this to me now, and they rip open the shirt. It's a bit like the Incredible Hulk, but they're not green. And this guy, he said to me, do you want to see my scar? And I felt I couldn't say no, really. I felt slightly embarrassed about it. I felt like saying, well, I don't really want to, but anyway, he ripped open his shirt, and he was cut from here to here. And there's this great big red scar down the middle of his chest. But I just, you know, in my little way, I felt saying to him, would you like to see my scar? And he looked at my chest, and I brought my wrist out to him and said, look, can you just see that? It's just about 3 mils, look there. That's where they went in. And, you know, that is nothing. It's absolutely nothing. I thank God that's all I've got. I really do. But, you know, if I was in his position, I'd still be thanking God that God had brought me through. Yeah. Because the fact is, God is good. And there is much to feast about. So, rejoice when you're well, and rejoice when you're not dead yet. Yeah. Then, you can also rejoice that have died that with those who have died in the Lord. You know, on Wednesday, when we're at the ground level conference, they're burying Tony Hunt at St. Olive's. At 2 p.m. And Tony Hunt's preached here many years ago. Tony Hunt has been a good friend to me. 93 years old. Lovely man. Very, very different in his worship style and what he's used to. I understand there'll be incense and bells and choirs at his funeral. But you know, a lovely man of God, and I thank God for him. And I'm rejoicing with him now that he's where he wanted to be for a long time. He's with his Saviour. And thank God for that. So, let's learn to rejoice and feast together. Okay? Amen. My third point today is mocking. It's wonderful going to Google Images and typing in mocking and seeing the faces you get coming up. I was stuck for choice, really. There were so many, but I decided on this guy that's pointing at you now. It says in verse 9, but Sarah saw the son, this is Ishmael, mocking the one Hagar the Egyptian had born to Abraham. So she said to Abraham, drive out this slave with her son, for the son of this slave will not be a co-heir with my son Isaac. Ishmael mocked whilst they were rejoicing in Isaac. Do you know something? The day of reckoning had come for Ishmael. This was an awful situation. But Abraham and Sarah had made a problem, and they now had to manage it. You know, it was never God's will that Sarah would give her Egyptian slave to Abraham as a wife, and that a baby would be born from that. It was God's will that they waited. But we can't blame God when things go wrong like this. We have to accept some of the responsibility ourselves and deal with it. And do you know what? Today, I just sort of feel that maybe God wants to challenge some of us to just deal with it. And not be always saying to God, God, I want you to deal with this for me. But God is looking for people who will deal with stuff themselves. You know, God will stand by with you and stand with you and hold your hand while you deal with it. But sometimes God is not wanting to take over our lives and deal with everything for us. He is wanting to stand with us whilst we deal with it ourselves. God reminded Abraham, listen to Sarah. And let me tell you this, God needs to remind men to listen to their wives. Well, he needs to remind me. Your offspring will be traced through Isaac, the scriptures tell him. God comforted Abraham as well, saying, I will also make a nation out of the slave's son. So the blessing that would come on Abraham and everyone that touched him wasn't going to be lost in Ishmael's generation. Ishmael was going to be blessed. And that was the comfort of God. You know, we all know a bit about what Ishmael turned into and the hurt he brought and the damage he's brought and all the stuff through the generations. But God was still kind to Ishmael. And we need to recognize this, that God is very kind indeed to us. And how wonderful that God is so kind, even to people who do not necessarily follow his ways. It was a difficult day for Abraham, but it was a necessary day. Ishmael was propelled forward into his new life, and he did become a nation, and still is through Islam, but he was never and never will be the child of promise. Hear me, people. He never was and never will be the child of promise. That was Isaac's calling. That was the child of Abraham and Sarah. When you have a promise, then you are wise to back it all the way. Put aside your contrivances, your secret plans, even your reasonable plans, and go with God's plan. And can I just say, mocking is never a good idea. We live in a world where satire is a popular form of humour. And I sometimes try to think of myself as being slightly humorous, although let me make it very, very clear to you, I am not even in the same league as Nigel Smith. But that's just for you, brother. It's a free gift. Good. But, you know, satire can lead to mocking. And it's too easy to poke fun at each other. And sometimes we can forget that mocking can be very painful and hurtful. And I've been in situations where people have been badly hurt by things that have been said without any ill thought, even in church. And it's not been necessarily a bad thing, but it wasn't a thoughtful thing that was said. And I would just suggest to you, let's just be cautious about what we say to God's people. In fact, let's be cautious what we say to people in general. It's great when you're in an environment where you know that humour is allowed and people welcome it and you can do that. But let's be careful in the general status of the church that we are not slipping into Ishmaelism or mocking. Let's not slip into that. But let's remember that God speaks well of us, and let's always speak well of each other. And you know, whenever I'm counseling people who are getting married, the one thing I always say to them is, you must learn to speak well of each other. I think it's terrible when you're speaking to people who are about to get married and they're already poking fun at each other and having a dig at each other in public. That might well be culturally acceptable, but I would suggest to you, it's not good for Christians to mock each other. Okay? My last point today is God is good. Don't ever treat people in a way that God wouldn't. Ishmael was going to end up being a stumbling block to the Jews and also to the church, but God showed him great grace. God isn't mean. God heard the boy crying, and he provided him water miraculously. It was his mum who got him a wife from Egypt, rather than from those who were of Abraham's household. You can say Abraham married an Egyptian, but that was his mum's doing. You can't blame Ishmael for that. But remember this, that God showed him great grace. And we should also show people great grace. Yes, we should. We should show everyone great grace, even if they are knocking us, even if they don't appear to be on our side. You know, if you show people great grace, it will come back to you after a while, after a season. And I would suggest to you that is a good way of living. So God is good, and I often say to people, you know, God is good, and I'm okay. Because I don't want to ever put myself in God's category. But people, I would like to encourage people to trust me, because I'm okay. But you know, we should always seek to be like our God who is good. That is a really nice scarf, and it'll match your eyes. It'll look lovely on you. Can I say, there are certain things that husbands slip into doing. And one of them, for me, is repeatedly buying the same gift over and over. I bought my wife a new scarf about a year ago, and she absolutely loved it to bits. So I immediately bought her another scarf. And another, and another, and another. And then I bought one at Christmas, and I bought her two since Christmas, and then this week I bought her that. And I've had to say to her, hang on, I think I'm overdoing this, aren't I? But you know, God is good, and we want to be good to each other, don't we? And sometimes I'm not always quite thoughtful enough, but thank God, he's better to us than a scarf. Okay. Yeah, okay. Oh, Lord help us. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. That's what James says, James 2:23. What a ride. What a ride. We've been with Abraham now the last 25 years. He's now 100. He's been, well, now we're... Isaac's weaned is over 100. And he's finally got a son with the wife of his youth. He's got lots to feast about, lots to rejoice about, because his God is good. Let us this morning also be like Abraham, feasting and rejoicing and celebrating in the goodness of God. And let's not slip into mockery. Let's not be so filtered through this world's culture that we think it's all right to just moan and whine. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with telling the truth. And if someone says to you, how are you? And you say, oh, I'm fine, when you're not, well, that isn't telling the truth, is it? I'm not saying we should conceal stuff, and we're not of the people who are so positive that they're dishonest about everything. But we need to find in everything something to be grateful for. Abraham did, and we also need to find something to be grateful for. My friend Nigel has gone 8 weeks without a cigarette. Woo. I thank God for that. That's absolutely wonderful. And, you know, every week he hasn't told me whining about the side effects of coming off nicotine. He doesn't go on about that. But he thanks God that God's been with him and helped him. And you know, that's how we should be. We just thank God because of his great kindness. Would you like to bow your heads with me? Father, this morning, we want to be grateful. We want to thank you so much for your kindness towards us. And we rejoice in Christ our Saviour, who has been so good to us, who has brought us salvation, who has set us free, who has forgiven our sins, who has restored us in life and relationship with the Father. Father God, we're thankful for you, and we want to rejoice together. We ask you today your blessing and touch on your church right now, that we might all know and love the God of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.